Still Travelling, My Life as a Leyland Brother, written and read by Mal Leyland. It was so bitterly cold that the water had frozen solid. This slippery, glass-like surface made the oddest of battlefields, yet lined up in neat ranks along opposite sides were soldiers standing in rigid defensive poses. These armies were equally matched, as was their stance. One was dressed in green, the other in red. It was early in the morning, the beginning of winter, in 1948. My brother Mike and I were silently watching and shivering while pressed up against the brick wall at the back of our home. A thick, heavy fog swirled through the apple trees further down the garden, and there was almost no noise. Our wide young eyes stayed glued to the scene on the ice. "Nothing seems to be happening," I whispered to my brother. "Keep quiet," he said. "Just watch. It'll take a little while." There wasn't the slightest movement except the very slow sideways tilting of a few soldiers. Then it happened quickly. Soldiers fell where they stood, forward, backward, or sideways as their feet warmed, melting through the ice. A cheer went up from Mike when a green soldier plopped into the black depths of the water. One of the opposing army joined him in his icy grave, and I too gave out a hearty cheer. This standoff continued until only three red soldiers were left standing. "My side wins," decided Mike as he snatched them up. We plunged our small hands into the rectangular tank of frozen drinking water to receive our brave lead soldiers. It was almost too deep for my arm, and the water was bone-chilling. Then we took our toys inside and placed them in front of the open coal fire to heat them up, so we could take them out in about half an hour for another battle. This unusual game is one of the earliest memories of a childhood that began in Hitchin, Hertfordshire, England, on the 2nd of October 1944. Britain was at war, and apart from my mother and father, three-year-old brother, and a few relatives, no one was in any way excited by my birth. I started school at the age of four, and on the first day was led to school by Mike. He was supposed to look after me, and I was to wait for him to show a way home. Kindergarten children were let loose earlier than the bigger children, so I simply walked home without waiting for Mike. This worried the hell out of Mike and Mum, but after their lecture, I never did it again. My brother and I travelled almost everywhere together for the next 40 years. My family lived in the middle of a row of brick houses with walled back gardens. I shared an upstairs bedroom with my brother, and next to my bed I had a small window that afforded a view over the paved courtyard separating our house from the one next door. I could see beyond this area into the apple trees of our garden and spent many hours surveying this little limited world I knew. Up the far end of our row of houses we had a neighbour who was a bit of a gardener and had his own chickens. He was a kindly old gent who gave Mike and me rides in his wheelbarrow. One day he handed me an egg to take to my mother. This was a great responsibility, for eggs were scarce. I proudly walked home, the fragile cargo cradled in my hands. This was a long journey for one so little, and had many obstacles to overcome. Muddy puddles, the cat which almost tripped me, and the rain that had become a heavy downpour by the time I reached the back door. I scaled the two stone steps but couldn't make Mum hear my shouts. When I raised my hand and gave a good loud knock, I dropped the prize, which splattered on the top step. I was so worried about wasting such a valuable item that I just stood there howling. When Mum opened the door and was confronted with my red face streaming with tears, she picked me up and gave me a huge hug instead of the hiding that I was so sure I deserved. I can still see the tenderness in her eyes as she comforted me and took me inside. These early years were as carefree as it could be, but my cozy world was about to change dramatically.